Blog Talk Radio.
All right, guys. So let's settle down some. We need you to sing this song with us. Listen up. Listen up.
God of creation, there at the start before the beginning of time. With no point of reference, he spoke to the stars and fleshed out the wonder of life. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born. The vapor of your breath.
For it's everything it takes to lift you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Is God your all in all? Is God able? Is God, God is. He's my all in all. I just thank you, Lord God, for tonight. I just praise your name. You are worthy to be praised. Just to be in your midst and to be in your presence once again on another Thursday. Each morning when I wake up, I just say, thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you, Lord, for another day. Just so grateful. I'm so, so grateful for what God has done. I'm so grateful for being alive, and I'm just grateful for God just giving me life and strength and breath in my body. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's able, y'all. He's able. God is, God is, God is. And I'm just thanking him on tonight. Let's just take some time to worship him on tonight, to just give him the glory and to give him the praise. Hallelujah. Because he is worthy. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Has he done anything for you on this day, just this day right here? Has he done anything for you that's worth giving him the praise for giving him some glory just to lift him up? And he doesn't need to be lifted. He's already on high. So I'm just saying, has he done anything for you on this day? I see numbers on here. I see people on the line. So that means you are here. You're alive. That's one thing that he's done. You're breathing. That's two things already. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Two things to give him the praise for. Glory to God, to worship him for. Hallelujah. It's what, 8 o'clock. I'm pretty sure you've had a meal already. Maybe two, three, maybe four or five. But hallelujah, you had something to eat. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I've come to praise the Lord on this night here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For the last couple of weeks, it's been kind of rough for me to give him the praise and to worship him. But on tonight, the devil will not take my praise. He will not take my worship. Hallelujah. Try to make me feel a little not so good on today, but the devil is a lie. Hallelujah. I'm healed by his stripes. God, I am healed by your stripes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. I say yes to your way. Yes to your will, God. You're in control. Hallelujah. And I just thank you on tonight. Hallelujah. I just give you the praise on tonight. Hallelujah. I just say hallelujah. 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 Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my God. He's so worthy. He is so worthy. He is so worthy. He does so much, and we do so little for him. Thank you, Lord. We think a little bit of lip service here and there is enough. Hallelujah. But he does so, so much for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. God is saying tonight on December the 3rd, our baby boy's birthday, or our baby man, our little man, I guess he's our big man now, 24 years old, but we just thank God for him tonight and him celebrating a birthday on today. But God says today, do not be surprised by the fiery attacks on your mind. When you struggle to find me and to live in my peace, don't let discouragement set in. You are engaged in massive warfare, spiritually speaking. The evil one abhors your closeness to me, and his demonic underlings are determined to destroy our intimacy. When you find yourself in the thick of battle, call upon my name. Jesus, help me. At that instant, the battle becomes mine. Your role is simply to trust me as I fight for you. My name, properly used, has unlimited power to bless and protect. At the end of time, every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth when my name is proclaimed. people who have used Jesus as a shoddy swear word will fall down in terror on that awesome day. But all those who have drawn near me through trustingly uttering my name will be filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. This is your great hope as you await my return. We have three scriptures, the first one coming from Ephesians 6 and 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Philippians 2:9-10. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. 1 Peter 1:8-9. For you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Hallelujah. We thank God for that word on tonight. And we just thank God for God. And the next voice you're going to hear is no other than that of Pastor Flint, to bring your word straight from God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 107
hallelujah.
To your line.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We just thank God for today. We praise him and worship him and magnify his name. We thank God for all that he's done and doing and yet going to do in our lives. We're going to just praise him and worship him because he is awesome and magnificent and wonderful. Psalm said, what a mighty God we serve. And I just want to echo that, those same words to you, saying, what a mighty God we serve. And they said, angels bow before him and heaven and earth adore him. But what a mighty God we serve. And then they go and begin to talk about it and tell you how we serve a mighty God. We serve a mighty God. How many know today that we serve a mighty God? No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're feeling or think you're feeling, no matter what you're experiencing, you serve a mighty God, a mighty, mighty God that's able to see you through all these things that you're going through, all the things that you think you may be going through. It may be loss, it may be lack, it may be illness in your body. But we serve a mighty God. He exchanged the curse on the tree. He exchanged the curse that had us led to damnation. He exchanged that for God's glory, for us to be able to escape the death. You know what I mean? And he said, hey, you might not get the first death, but the second death we have escaped. By this great salvation, by this ministry of reconciliation. So I say, what a mighty God we serve. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God. We praise you. We worship you. We magnify your name. We thank you, Father, for this is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Father, I ask for the strength to bring forth this message as you have given it to me, as you have shared it with me and have cut me with it already, that I can turn it over to your children, God, and that it will be for them, God. And God, don't let it be too much that they can't digest, God, because, you know, spoiled meat can kill you just like spoiled milk can kill you. So we want it to be just enough, just right, just tender enough that we can chew it and digest it and even regurgitate it. Father, we thank you for it right now in your Son Jesus' name. We pray, Father, we decrease that you increase. It'll be all of you and none of us. Holy Spirit, take control in Jesus' name. So it is. All right, so turn with me real quick to Luke, the 9th chapter. And we're going to start, that's where you want to start, Jesus? I told you, serve a mighty God. God just, when you say take the wheel, he take the wheel. There's nowhere where I was going to go. But we'll get there. Be patient with me. So here's where we are. I mean, you know, Ezekiel had a conversation with God, and he said, Ezekiel, can these dry bones live? And he said, well, you know. And he said, well, command the Ruach Kodesh, which is the Holy Spirit, to blow on them, north, south, east, and west. And he did just that. And the dry bones begin to come alive. So here's what I'm saying. Some of us are going through health issues. Some of us are going through disappointment. Some people are going through depression, oppression, suppression, possession. I mean, this will be real. We got, the church is a hospital. We think that it's for well people and heal people, but it's not. He said, if you didn't need a physician, then you don't need me. So look at, when I'm looking at this right here, I'm looking at Christ. We're at the 12th verse, Luke 9:12. He said, now the day was ending. And the 12 disciples came and said to him, send the crowd away so they may go into the surrounding villages and countryside and find lodging and get provisions. Because here we are in an isolated place. But he said to them, you give them something to eat. They said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless perhaps we go and buy food for all these people. For there were about 5,000 men, he said to his disciples. Have them sit down to eat in groups of about 50 each. They did so and had them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. See, and that's something, man, when you know who you are, how many say, I know who I am, I know whose I am, and I know who he is. He's a mighty, mighty God. Tonight I want you to say, I serve a mighty, mighty God. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. I serve a mighty God. Look what he did. He said, and they did so and had them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And they looked up to heaven and gave thanks and blessed them and broke them and kept giving them to the disciples to set before the crowd. How about you take your checkbook, your pocketbook, your wallets, your debit cards, your credit cards? Take them. Look up to heaven. Give thanks for them. You can take your car note, your car payment, your rent, your mortgage, your light bill, water bill, and bless them. Now, your version of breaking them in is on you. I ain't going to tell you to break none of that stuff, but he said, and broke them and kept giving them to the disciples set before the crowd. They all ate and were completely satisfied. And the broken pieces which they had left over were abundant. They were picked up 12 baskets full. So I can see Jesus lifting everything up towards heaven. And that's what I'm telling you tonight. You got to start lifting up stuff towards heaven. You got to be lifting it up. Lord, I lift you up. Lord, I lift your name on high. I give you my bills. I give you my car payment. I give you my wallet. I give you my pocketbook. Lord, I lift your name on high. You got to start giving everything. Give it back to him. And watch him multiply. So then, and they all ate and were completely satisfied in the broken pieces, which they had left over were abundant, and we picked up 12 baskets full. I said, come a time sometimes when you got to know who you are. And sometimes God just amazed you. We can look at 3 or 4 instances where God had even amazed Jesus. And the first one is even letting Satan know the whole time. This amazed me when Satan, you know, in Genesis, when God gave the hand down the punishment between Satan and Eve, and he made them enemies with each other and said, you gonna have your seed and her seed will always be at each other. You're going to bruise the heel, but it's going to crush your head. And actually from that point on, Satan was looking for who that seed is. Is it Abraham? Is it Moses? Is it Noah? Is it David? Was it Solomon? Was it Elijah? He know he thought it was Elijah. That's why he had Jezebel try to cut his head off and kill him. Was it Elisha or any other prophets? They're dangling the lines then. Who is that seed? Until Jesus, God revealed to him and said, hey, after John, especially, was it John the Baptist? But John baptized him, and before he went into the wilderness, he said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. This is the seed you're looking for. So sometimes you got to know who you are. Because they done hijacked us from our identity. They done hijacked us from who we are, where we come from. They changed the way you worship. Even now you look at how the services are. You know, it went from a service where everybody was engaged and from the devotions to the altar call and everything else to now it's a microwave service where you have a few praise worship songs, pastor speaking, everybody go home. What's the motivation going on? You know, we have a lot of stuff like the motivational speakers that we got that we, you know, put on pedestals. This is what we're looking at because we don't know who we are. And he had to let them know, this is my son whom I am well pleased. Then he had to go and be trained. Sometimes we get called and hear what God told me about. Oh, Lord, have mercy. And get a chance. Get Corinthians 10:13. It says, we're looking at, are you calling or falling? Are you being, you know, he had, even though he was called and chosen, he had to go and be tested. He had to go and be strengthened by the angels. You know what I mean? They gave him, you know, 40 days and 40 nights he was up in the wilderness getting instructions and being, and then after that, Satan tested him. So you look at everybody, you know, we got callings on our lives, and many are called, few are chosen. We got these things on our lives, but we know even in that, the testing must come. So am I calling or am I falling? And we got to ask yourself that. But he said, even with the temptation, he gives a way to escape it. That's because you got to know it by a reason. You got to get into that book and get the education and get the strength so that you can stand. He said, you know, it's going to say, David said, your words I have hid in my heart. And that's what you got to do now. You got to start hiding his word in your heart. So anyway, back to that, to the seed, when he knew it was him, that's one way he found out who he was. Here go another one. When God mesmerized him. Sometimes God got to shock you. He saw Jesus when Jesus and the woman came up, and the Samaritan woman, it wasn't a Samaritan woman, but her daughter was sick, and he said, I can't take from the children of Israel and give it to the dogs. And the woman said, even dogs eat the crumbs that fall off the master's table. And he was shocked to even hear such faith and such conviction that he was like, hey, even though I know it ain't meant for you, you're going to be able to get it. Sometimes it ain't meant for you. Sometimes you may be in church and you hear somebody get a testimony or somebody get prophesied to, and that ain't yours. But you can, your faith can make you grab hold to it. Like the woman with this, she said, who touched me? And she took virtue from him. See, sometimes you got to understand, how do I tap in? How do I touch this? How do I get in this? And then you can say, he touched me and he made me whole. How about that? Then what we had there, now we was, I'll tell you, he had to make me go away from where I was supposed to be going at first. Let me come back down to where I was at. All right, here we go. I was talking about the cross, right? Take up the cross, and that's what he was saying about today. And then he went from taking up the cross to, what profit a man? If we had to give a top note, what does it profit you? And look what he said. He said, and he was saying to them on the 23rd verse, if anyone wishes to follow me as my disciple, he must deny himself, set aside selfish interests, and take up his cross daily. Ask yourself, am I denying myself? Do I truly wish to, you know, we say we want to be disciples of Christ, but what is the characteristic that's needed to be a disciple of Christ? So that's what we're talking about tonight. What the functionality of it? What do I need to do to say I'm a disciple of Christ? What would justify me as being that disciple? What, not even justify, what qualifies and quantifies me? And he said, and he said to them all, if anyone wishes to follow me as my disciple, he must deny himself, set aside selfish interests, and take up his cross daily. What does that mean? Expressing a willingness to endure whatever may come and follow me. Believing in me, conforming to my example and living, and if need be, suffering or perhaps dying because of faith in me. Are you willing to do that tonight? To say, I belong to Jesus and he belongs to me. You know, are you willing to make that sacrifice tonight, today, tomorrow? I sent a text out today, and it said, I am willing to walk with God even if I lose everybody else. I can't see Isaiah, when God said, he said, who should I go and who should I send? Isaiah said, here I am, I, O Lord, send me. And this is a song about it. You know, dude said, if I know I want somebody, I need somebody, here am I, send me. So let's go back further. He said, and he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to follow me as my disciple, He must deny himself, set aside his selfishness, and take up his cross daily, expressing a willingness to endure whatever may come and follow me, believing in me, conforming to my example and living, and if need be suffering, or perhaps dying because of faith in me. For whoever wishes to save his life in this world will eventually lose it through death. Wow. Whoever loses his life in this world for my sake, he is the one who will save it from the consequences of sin and separation from God. So if we lose our life in this world for his sake, he said he is the one who will save it from the consequences of sin and separation from God. But here we are, verse 25, ladies and gentlemen. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, wealth, fame, success, and loses or forfeits himself? I remember this sentiment so very well. It was in the year 2000. I was incarcerated in Gwinnett County, and I had just got through making some big deals with some Haitian drug dealers, and I was changing, and the little young lady friend I was with, she was supporting me a lot, but when I decided to walk away, she said, I ain't dealing with you no more. But here's the thing that was the kicker. I was dealing with the Haitians, and it was like, we're going to make you a millionaire in 30 days when you come home. So that millionaire in 30 days when I come home, they said, we're going to give you 10 kilos of cocaine at $10,000 a pop. And that was it. And God told me, on day 31, your brain's going to be blown out. So then what does it profit a man to gain the world, yet lose his soul? Gain the world, what is that? What does gain the world mean? Wealth, fame, success. But whoever is ashamed hearing now of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory, and the glory of the Heavenly Father, and of the holy angels. But I tell you truthfully, there are some of those among you standing here who will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God. So now we're getting to talk about it. Does it really profit you to gain that world? When you look at what all the world represents, we look at Demas. Demas was charmed by the words of light and he fell off. He said, Jesus said, the seed is sown and it landed on three or four different grounds. And the first ground was fell by the wayside, and the other one stood on the ground, and the other one was in the ground but got choked up by the thorns and the thistles. And that's what happened with Demas. Sometimes that word gets choked up by the thorns and the thistles. And that means we be charmed by what the world has to offer, charmed by the words of light, the shiny things. But we know how many know all glitter ain't gold. A lot of it is fool's gold. But we get caught up thinking that that's what it is until we realize that it's so not. And God just was dealing me on what is the profit in taking up the cross. Are you really ready to take up your cross and walk? Stop all the talking. Begin to walk it. Walk it like you're talking. Bring it like you sing it. You know, that's what it all boils down to. That's what it all boils down to. And he just gave me some little simple scriptures to just keep on your head. So if you got your time, we're going to look at the first one we'll look at is let's look at Psalm 129. So your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore my soul keeps them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments. See, that's how you learn how to be a disciple. You got to get in that word. He said, I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments. You can look at Matthew 4:24. Let's go up a little bit. Look at Isaiah 20:16. They said, therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am the one who has laid as a foundation in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not be in haste. Sometimes you got to know that he's that cornerstone. You know, he's that rock. We're talking about tonight. A question you ask yourself, is my soul anchored in? And what is my soul anchored on? You know, it said, your anchor grip and hold a solid rock. Is my anchor touching the solid rock, or is it hitting the bottom of the ocean where it's just swaying You got to make sure that I can grip. If you come to such grip and hold that solid rock, and we've been told that rock is Jesus, right? So let's focus on that alone. Who am I? Whose am I? You know, why am I here? There's a purpose on your life. So now you got to understand that there's purpose, and purpose is the reason why you woke up this morning and the next person didn't. Purpose is why you got home today and the next person didn't. Purpose is why you got fresh breath running, you know, flowing through your nostrils and fresh blood running warm through your veins, and the next person didn't wake up last night, or the next person didn't get to that bed last night, or they was in a bad car accident, or they got shot and killed, or they was reckless. But none of these are your misfortunes. And that's purpose. And the thing said, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Now, where is your war cry? Sometimes, you know, you got to realize sometimes you just got to cry out to the Lord. We got to cry out to the Lord. We were just talking about on the prayer line yesterday, they played a song by Sam Cooke, R&B song. They played, but the song was, Duke said, it's been a long, long time coming. But I know a change going to come. And then we look at the slaves, they always singing and whistling. And even them asking the Israelites when they was in Babylon, sing us some of them old songs that them spirituals used to sing back in Jerusalem. Why? Because they know then they shut them up because they know you keep singing these songs enough, it's going to activate God. So they got to get that war cry. Sometimes, you know, he said that, you know, when you just moan, you just can't even get the words out and you just begin to just moan. And that's what I'm talking about. You get to just groaning and wailing. And that's why I tell the woman in Lamentations, teach your daughters how to wail. Teach them a lamentation. Teach them to be wailing women so they can get some results. Teach them how to be intercessors. Teach them how to be prayer warriors. See, we don't have mothers in the ministries no more, so we can't even advocate those things. We can't really begin to do those. And then we wonder why my child is going astray or why my children lost. Because we have done what they said in Hosea 4 and 6. What, and 7, we said, my children are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. Because we as priests and elders, apostles and pastors have abandoned and rejected the word of God, the will of God, the plan of God, the purpose of God. We have rejected it and made the kingdom of earth our kingdom instead of seeking first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. And his, you know, we stopped doing those things that God had put in place and found our own way. Now we wonder why our children are destroyed. Now we wonder why. You turn on the news, 16, 17, 18, 19-year-old children going to prison for the rest of their lives because we haven't let them know who Christ is. We've abandoned the word and the purpose and the plan and the instructions as leaders. We're caught up so much in the politics. We're so caught up in the Democrats and Republicans and what they're saying. When God said, you influence the election. When my people are praying and praising and turning their back on what is unrighteous. And you're focused. You determine when a righteous person get up in there. We forgot, man. We forgot how to use the power that God has given us. The power of prayer, praise, and worship. The power of intercession. The power of agreement. If two or more are touching and agreeing. See, and then, so now we let illnesses infect our bodies. We let all these other things come upon us and overwhelm us, and we forgot who we are. That's why Jesus said, even when you forget who you are, you don't even take up your cross, you don't die, you don't crucify yourself. So now you got all these other things going on in self that you don't even know that self and flesh go together. So now the spirit is out of the equation. So now you weaken yourself, but God let this thing test you, and he even let it crush you. Sometimes there has to be a crushing for that to be a deliverance, for that to be an awakening, for that to be an empowerment. Let's find something else. All right, hold on. He's going to get it. He's going to get it in 1 second. Let me see. Look at John 14:10. He said, do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who tells me what dwells in me does his works. Then he goes in 14:11 and says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Words believe on account of the works themselves, Jesus. Then he goes to 14:12 and says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me
will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. See, that's what I'm trying to tell you. Listen, who truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. Greater works than these. Why greater works than these? Because I am going to the Father. And you look at the prophecy of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has been fulfilled. And he said this, are you prepared to lay your life at the altar and take up Christ's life now to fulfill this prophecy? I'm saying today is the day. People tell you, tell someone or someone, say, man, today is the day. Today is the day to lift him higher. Look at that. To tell God, God, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. To tell God, blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong but walk in his ways. When you get to your and someone is, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Isaiah 23 and 4, you keep him. Watch what God does, ladies and gentlemen. When your mind is boggled down, and he told me there's no rest for the wicked in Isaiah 54, but hear what he's telling you right now, though. He said, you keep him in perfect peace. When? Whose mind is stayed on you. Why? Because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. See, I got these because I had a dream last night. Well, it was like probably this morning. You know, I'm on a different schedule, different time zone. And it was like a football game, and like one of the it was crazy. It was football practice, and one of the homework lessons for the football team, and I was playing. Like I guess I was back in high school in this dream, was that you had to come up with 144 scriptures. 12 times 12, 144, whatever that is. Anyway, you had to come up with that. Verses linking God to him, like, the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. Our Father, which art in heaven. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens. You had to come with those little quotes. You had to come with 144 quotes. And I had to do it in my sleep. And so God just got me still doing them now. And I'm trying to tell you, man, it is strength. When you get into that word, and you can know, like 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us. Or we can go to 1 John 1:5-6. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Or we look at Hebrews 5:8-10. It says, although he was a son, that's what I'm talking about, Christ, he learned obedience through what he suffered. So I'm like, I told you, you got to suffer. There has to be a crushing. Look what Christ went through. It pleased God. It said in Isaiah, it said it pleased God to put the, for the suffering of his servant. You know, he was beaten. He was crushed. He had a crown of thorns on his head. He was whooped by a cat and nine tails 39 times. They had nails in his hands, nails in his feet, a spear in his side. Come on, man. But it pleased God. Even Jesus said, Ele, ele, lama sabatani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He came to the place where he felt like he had been forsaken. But it was a crushing of him for the opportunity of you and myself and others for the ministry of reconciliation. So sometimes you have to be crushed and be a seed that goes to the ground. Let the seed fall to the ground and dies. It cannot spring forth fruit. It cannot come forth and bring forth fruit. And that's what happened. And as him going in as the first fruit of righteousness, he was able to mature underground and be nurtured underground to that the harvest of fruit was able to be established or manifested. Look at what he said. Although he was a son, he learned obedience to what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Let's look at Hebrews 4:16. Let us then with confidence draw near. Watch this, ladies and gentlemen. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I'm saying sometimes just give me some vitamins now. Because when you're feeling away, whether it's mentally, physically, spiritually, sometimes we need a word from the Lord. Just one word from the Lord removes all doubt. We need a word. So you need to know where to get this word. You need to know, okay, God, I'm going through something. I need your mercy. I need your grace. Okay, go to Hebrews 4:9-10. So then, you know, Hebrews 4:16, they say, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Galatians 6:5, get what he's saying. He telling you, listen, you talking about Gentiles and Jews and all that, man, none of that stuff matters. God says, for that is neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. As for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel God, be it for me. And then we got to realize, man, we got to live a faith-filled life restored, which restores us back to the Garden of Eden where the Father walks among us. You know, we got to get to that place where we know how to get back to the Garden of Eden, where we understand righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, where we know that, man, we're not saying, hey, I'm the Christian, because Christ didn't want that. You know what I mean? Christ was none of that stuff. He didn't preach faith. He didn't preach the cross. He preached one thing, and that's the kingdom. The kingdom of God is at hand. And we got to be about the kingdom. We got to be about the glory of God. He said, the hour has come, Father, glorify your Son so that you may be glorified. It's time to be glorified in God. This is your hour. This is the time. This is the season. There's people around you that are suffering spiritually, suffering physically, suffering mentally, suffering financially, and you have the answer. You are my disciples. You are my works. He said, hey, first thing you got to do is deny yourself. Take up your cross, walk. Get into your word. Establish who you are, whose you are. Why am I here? Where am I going? What's for me to do? Those questions, you know, you begin to figure that out, and God begin to take you through it. And we look at people falling up, you can call them, you can put on Galatians 3:1 and say, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? For your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified, let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works or the law, or by hearing with faith? Faith come by what? Hearing? And hearing what? The word of God. Let's get it. I'm just sharing a little love tidbits with you, because he gave them to me. That's all. Get to the place where you can go to Matthew 6 and Matthew 5 to the Beatitudes and take no thought. He said, and which of you being anxious can add? You know what I mean? Man, be anxious for nothing. We got anxiety. People have been on anxiety attacks, heart attacks, cardiac arrest. For what? When God said, man, be anxious for nothing. Take no thought. Hey, what you going to say? What you going to eat? Why do you worry what you eating? He said, look at the grass. Arrayed better than Solomon, but yet it's here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow. Will he not take more care of you? Oh, ye a little faith. Come on, little flock. We got to get it together. Father, we receive the calling, and we repent for all the times that we've been falling and falling and falling. Catch me, I'm falling. That's the song. Catch me, I'm falling. Catch me, I'm falling, Lord. But let me fall in your hands. Let me fall in your grace. Let me fall in your mercy. And wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms, Lord. Someone said, please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. Wrap us in your arms, God. Present us faultless. Change our garments from sorrow to praise. God, I'm exchanging my ashes. I'm turning them in. For your word said, you'll give us beautiful ashes. Someone listened the other night said, I'm changing my sorrow. I'm changing my shame. And I'm laying it down for the joy of the Lord. He said, I'm changing my sickness. I'm changing my pain. I'm laying it down for the joy of the Lord. And of course, we say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. I say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Amen. And so it is, God. We say yes to your will, yes to your plan, yes to your purpose, yes to your design. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. I turn back over to Evangelist Plant for the facilitation service and benediction. Well, anybody has something they want to add to or take away, you press one. See, you'll see it, and we'll move forward. Just add one. Press one. Evangelist Plant can see you. And see, see you move forward.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. God, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for that word. And God, we just want to continue to just give them praise. Let's just keep that praise on our tongue. If anybody has anything that they want to add to, take away, testimony, praise report, prayer request, press one, and I can recognize you. 0279, your line is open.
Oh, good evening. I just want to say and happy birthday to the birthday child, 24. God bless him with a million more and then some. Godspeed. What a blessing. What a blessing.
Amen.
Father God, we thank you today for just coming into our lives. We thank you for Pastor Flynn and his wife and family, and we thank you, Father God, for they are evangelizing together, and a family that prays together, stays together. And we're all family, Lord. And it's so wonderful during this time to be of good cheer, because that's what's going to get us through wherever we are. Content in the name of Jesus. Amen. That's it.
Amen. Prophet Pam. Amen. One 436, your line is open.
Good afternoon, Evangelist Marie and Pastor George. I was listening to the message, and I've listened to what you're saying, that we need to teach our children more about God. And when we don't teach them about God, they fall astray. And we is their first example, because our face was the first thing they saw when they came into the world. So what we can set an example for them and turn from the things that we're doing, that they see us doing that's not right, I'm pretty sure that they will eventually turn around and do the right things if they see us leaving on the right path. Because these days are getting short, and the children are watching us, and they feeling like, to me, it seems like us and the children, they're kind of raising themselves. We're allowing our kids to raise themselves, not we raise them. And they feel like they're treating still on milk, even if they're a teenager, a young man, or a young woman. They still have to learn about God. And we still have to crawl before we walk. So we would take up the time and teach them about God, even start having a family prayer every night with them. So telling them, don't forget to say your prayers. Because I used to say that, don't forget to say your prayers. But then I had to grow up to another stature in life to let my kids know her family prays together, stays together. So, you know, some will and some won't, but all you can do is just set that example out there for them so they can do right. And I thank y'all for the message tonight, because it really did bless my soul. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen, amen. Anyone else have anything that they would like to add to? 447, your line is open.
Hallelujah. Praise God. I just thank God for that message tonight. And for the praises from you, daughter. It really uplifted me. And I just thank God, because the scripture says that if we train up the child to do right, and if he strays, that what we have put in him, what we have imparted into them, it will bring them back. And I know that firsthand with my son Al, before he was killed. Every night for about 3 weeks, he called me. And he would play a song I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. And he had another song that he played all the time, Order My Steps. And his heart was truly unto God. With my son Dell, when he had prayed, but when God began to deal with him, born a prophet, just like Pastor Flint, they all had a ministry. They all had a calling, a prophetic calling in God. And being able to minister, I would read the Bible to him every day. When he was in the hospital, when he came home, and then the Lord took him. All three of my sons had dabbled in drugs. They had done other things, even though the word of God and my life before them had been imparted into them and my mother. So they knew God. But I came home one day to get something, and my son Derek had surgery. He was in his room, and he was praying and calling up to God and speaking in tongues. I was amazed. I thank God because he let me know before he took them that they had come back to him. You see, this is a good feeling, and you can't always just grieve because you know where your children are. And if they had still been here and had not turned their hearts back to the Lord to do and to yield to him, then I would be very upset if I didn't know. If I didn't know, if I had to wonder what happened to them. But God gave me the assurance, and he will give you the assurance. He'll let you know. And not just about your children, but about yourself. God wants us to watch our words. He wants us to be careful how we speak to people and the tone that we use when we are speaking to them. And that's for our family as well as for others. God wants us to be humble. He wants us to seek his face. He's not bringing that scripture over and over and over from all different ministries in this world. 2 Chronicles 7:14. He's calling out to his people because they don't know how much they need him. And with things happening all over this world, horrific things. But God said he didn't send the coronavirus, but he allowed it to happen. He's not sending this global change that's causing all kind of horrific things in all the states with flooding and earthquakes and volcano eruption, for whole cities are just in water. You can only see the top of the trees at the top, the rooftop of the houses, or you see the houses being swept into the water. God wants his people to know that this is a time that Satan has loosed one of his demons to take his team and to go forth and bring the destruction that there is now all over the world. This is time. And I don't know how soon. God hasn't told Jesus. He'll know when it's time. But he wants us to know all of these things that's happening. We need to draw closer to him. And we need to learn how to fight against the enemy when they come to you, to tear you down, to make you feel like God doesn't care, that God has not healed you because you're still having pain. But that is the enemy. to do anything he can. He's out to hurt God and to win every soul away from God and take them into hell. So let us work with our families, with our children, and let them know that if they don't get caught up in the rapture, tell them whatever they do, don't take the mark of the beast. Because once they take it, they're going to be condemned to hell. And there's no way, once you take it, that you can be changed back. So let's encourage our families. And it'll be between them and God. But you will have done your part to warn them of what is happening. There's even such heavy flooding in Palestine. Palestine has been shooting rockets over and over into Israel. God will touch not my anointing and do my prophets no harm. Stay under the anointing of Almighty God. And I thank you for this space, my darling. God bless you.
God bless you. Testament, do you want to have last words before we do the benediction?
Hey, hello. Hey, here's what I want to talk about. I'm gonna be done.
You're lying.
But I just want to say this one thing. It was a scene on YouTube about the mother and a 7-year-old daughter, and they were in the street having a twerking contest. So we gotta look at how far we have gone away from God as a people. Well, a mother can think that it's cute to be in the middle of the street with a 7-year-old child shaking her dairy ass and doing all type of other stuff. And you got children. My associate, Mr. Lightfoot, he was saying that there's a song, Come On the World, a song, and his niece knew the words to the song and dancing. And it got to a part where things got raunchy and grinding. And she doing, I think she's 5, 6 years old. And, you know, we got to understand, man, we got to get past this foolishness and get back to the word and the ways of God and make that make sense and make it like our daily bread, where we can pray that prayer and say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, our daily bread. And that's what the word got to be your daily bread. Say, man shall eat our bread alone, but every word that proceeded out the mouth of God, chew that word up, chew it up. Swallow it, digest it, regurgitate it, you know, release it. But chew the word, know it. He gave them a scroll. He said it might be bitter going down, but, you know, sweet and bitter, whatever. But get to that word. Get in your word. Because guess what? It's going to come a time where you can't even have that word. So you got to get in that word now. Seek him early when it may be found. Trust the Lord and lean out to your own understanding. And train up your child in righteousness and get past this foolishness. And we'll win this. I promise we'll win. I said that in love. In Jesus' name, I love you. Nothing you can do about it.
Amen. Prophet Pam, can you give us the benediction for the night, please?
Father God, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Father God, we thank you so much for coming into our homes, for coming into our lives. We ask, Father God, that you would continually, as you are doing, and we know that you will do, keep us covered, watch between we and thee while we're absent, one from the other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Until next week, we love you. There's absolutely nothing you can do about it. Have a blessed week in Jesus' name. Amen.